Yeah, welcome to mom time. First order of business, those of you in the last four rows, move up to the front. Thank you, come on. And while that's happening, I would love it if you'd move up because we're just a cozy group and we're going back to how it was in the early days. We're gonna have our time of sharing. I have a special guest tonight that's gonna come and join me, and then we're gonna break up into prayer groups afterwards. So it actually is important for you to move up because that will make that part easier. And for those of you who are joining us online at home, we'll go with the flow and I'll let you know the directions as we go through that. So thank you so much for joining us. Before we get started, I'm so appreciative of worship and of Marissa setting us off with prayer. I'm so thankful that she blesses us with her voice. As you guys know, this is the first of the age group. If you've never had a baby before, or if you're pregnant and into that first year, this era is your era, right? No pun intended for Taylor Swift, but I'm in my grandma era, just so you know. I have a little announcement, though, because we have our dear friend Paula here, who's just going to take a couple minutes to help review just the process of what the Titus 2 ministry is, what that looks like to you. Hugely available to you, and she's going to explain the who, what, where, why, when, and how right now. So here's sweet Paula. Thank you, Paula. Yeah, come on, right here. We've got it for you. We've got it right here. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. So we are very excited to share with you about Titus 2, because there's been a lot of confusion about what is the Titus 2 ministry? And so we just thought that it would be just great for me to just explain it to you. So Titus 2 is not counseling. That's the biggest thing that we wanted to share with you, because a lot of people are confusing Titus 2 with counseling, and it's not counseling. Titus 2 is from a scripture from Titus 2, verses 3 through 5, and it says, it starts with us older women, and it says, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. And then it goes into, so that they may encourage the young woman to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, and being subject to their own husband, so that the word of God would not be dishonored. And that's what Titus 2 is all about. The Titus 2 ministry is under the leadership of Judy Slaughter, our beloved Judy, and Jamie McCleskey and I help Judy with just trying to keep the day-to-day flowing with Titus 2. But it's... we have monthly meetings with a wonderful team of at least 25 older women. So they're all going to be people that have raised kids or are almost done raising their children, or like many of us, are in the grandmother stage. So that's a huge blessing. So we are here to encourage you on your journey of being a young mom. And you're encouraging you as being a young wife and also a homemaker and a keeper of the home. So that's what we love doing. And the way you can go about that is if you go online and under the women's ministry, unfortunately, under counseling, the tab of counseling, there is the tab for Titus 2 at home. And if you go on there and you can just fill out a little form, and then either Jamie McCleskey or I will get that form in, and then we pray together once a week. We meet and we pray, and then we will give your name on to someone that's in the team. And then one of the Titus 2 ladies will contact you and have a call with you first. And then if you're really up for it, then we would love for the Titus 2 older woman to come and visit you at your home. And we come in pairs. So it is scriptural for us to be sent out in pairs. And so we'd love to come in pairs. So we would come to your home. We would just meet with your kiddos. If you have any questions, if you're just feeling just really frustrated with discipline, or whatever, that's what we love to do. And so that's what Titus 2 is all about. So we just really encourage you, if you want to be encouraged, then just go contact one of us or just go online and just fill out that little form, and that'd be great. There's also in the back, there's a little Titus 2 card, and it's got the little QR code on the back, and so you can go and do it that way too. So
I could get that at the info table tonight.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yes. No, I'm good. I've got
good.
Yes, so, I've got my little earring on.
All right.
I want to add also, she's an amazing cook. I would highly request Paula. And you say, hi, I'm frustrated, like she was saying. I've run out of recipes.
Yes.
She will help you. Thank you, Paula.
You're welcome.
Okay, that's great. Is everybody clear on that? I hope that is helpful. It does help to steer the direction in the right way. And so on the website, how it says counseling, because, well, what are you supposed to think? You do need counseling, but it's biblical counsel. It's not necessarily PhD, although there is some of that. But Judy runs that, and she can help after talking to you if it's been a continuous cycle and you need to go to the next level. Judy can help you make that transition in a healthy way so that you know you're not needlessly going to a higher level counselor if actually the answer is right there in the sweet community of women of Titus 2 who can just have a simple answer for you that kind of makes all the tangles get untangled. It's just a nice, nice ministry. So, okay, now we're going to transition. So take your drink of water because now we're going to be sitting tight for a little bit. I'm going to take a drink of water. I'm not kidding. Take a drink of water because I'm going to talk your brains out for about 45 minutes. So hold on. I'm going to do what Brett does. There we go. He always teases us, huh? Okay. So I am so excited. So I have... I should probably start by saying, if you didn't listen to the most recent podcast of Devoted Live, I was on that podcast, I would suggest that you listen to that because it will bring you up to speed with kind of the origin of mom time. How did it start? What is it? Why do we have this broken up into these age groups like that? It will help answer a lot of those things. So put that down for your homework assignment. The other thing as far as just review that I wanted to show you is each of you should have gotten your journal. So take lots of notes. If you have questions, go ahead and write them down, and Titus 2 Women can help you. If during when we break up into prayer, if you want to write things down in your prayer journal, that use this for that. That is really good too. But just go ahead and take advantage of that. Real pretty artwork. No, I did not do it. So the artwork is Claude Monet, and I did that because it's the froofiest, girliest girl artwork you could ever think of, and that's what our mom time is just taking a break. He was an impressionist. I love his artwork. I don't know anything about his morality. Don't judge me on that, but I love his artwork. So look at it and just enjoy everything that you see. Inside your little, ooh, it's kind of loud, but your notebook things, these little cards. So these are set up for you to be able to review. And again, new mom, pregnant, maybe not feeling so hot. This is a low pressure class, low to no pressure, okay? We're just letting you have these as you want to look up the scriptures. You don't even have to look them up this time. They're literally printed out for you. It's so easy. So if you just want to put this on your refrigerator, because if you only have a minute and you're like, okay, wait a second though, okay, so all the generations from, you could read one scripture and you're, oh, good, you get your little bread. Okay, so this is your bread, and there's also dessert, which you know. For our online audience, I want to make sure you guys know that your things are in the mail. You should be getting them today, tomorrow, and Friday. Okay, that's good. So these, I think that's all the business I have to do, and then I can actually get going. Okay. So let's rewind. Let's pretend some of you have listened to the podcast and you've heard a little bit about my mention of someone named Marna. Marna Slaughter is my sweet, sweet friend. She's Judy Slaughter's daughter-in-law. Marna is married to Tad, who Brett and Tad have had a life that the Lord only could have brought in and out of us working either on opposite sides of the earth. They oftentimes are in a country called Vanuatu, which is in the south, south, South Pacific, not very far from Australia and New Zealand, and they have a whole other language called Bishlama that they speak, that it sounds like you're insane when you're speaking it, but it makes sense to the people who are there. And they've had a ministry of service to a beautiful, beautiful people that are there. But long before that, Tad and Brett were working side by side in youth ministry down in Southern Oregon for years, and behind them were Marna and I raising our little babies. And we have stories to tell. And so it is my pleasure to bring out for you tonight, Marna Slaughter. Sweet Marna.
Well,
oh goodness.
I love you, Debbie.
I love her too so much. You guys, so I need to probably tell them the funny story.
Yes.
So
yes.
See, we just love the Slaughters. Our kids were raised together. It was, the family was so seamless in our discipline that I could drop my kids off with them and they could drop their kids off with me and Brett. And there would not be a ripple of difference because we were in lockstep with the way that we'd raise our kids. So years go by and they very sadly, I think Brooke was starting kindergarten and
they
Amy,
were five.
And they got moved clear over to Vanuatu, clear across the whole world. And I remember in the airport when I think you guys were leaving and Amy and Brookie, who were the best little friends, like at 4 years old, they would pull their little chairs up and get knee to knee and just talk in the backyard because they were so girly girls.
Ooh.
So they were just the bestie friends. So they were at the airport and Brooke and Amy were talking to each other. And then the time came where the Slaughters had to go and Brooke said, "There's not enough time." And then they had to go. And it was so sad. Oh. So that became an emotional, because you guys would come home and then sometimes you would go back.
Yes.
And then you would come home.
And sweet
and then
Brookie.
You would go back and Brookie. But the very first year that they were gone, because it was about a year, right?
Yes, yeah.
So they left for Vanuatu and we moved up here and started Athey Creek. So massive changes were happening in both of our families' life. I knew Marna was getting like recoup time of after a long, long season of us not seeing our husbands. She was on a beautiful beach with her husband and her family.
Palm tree.
And that was all. And also bad snakes and big mice.
Yes.
And big spiders and crazy big things spiders. Like that.
Yes.
So, and then I'm going to turn this over to Marna so we can actually get to the age group that you're here for. But I just want to get you the background. So Rookie was missing Amy so, so much. She was missing Amy. Every day she would say, okay, so new environment for Brooke. None of her cousins are around. All of her church family is different. Now there's 10 people that go to church instead of 10,000 or whatever, right? Like it was a pretty big shift for her. And she just every day, "Mommy, I miss Amy. I miss Amy." And I was praying for my kids, but I also knew that I couldn't actually do anything about it. But I know you understand this, where you are actually beside yourself with the sorrow that you feel for your child, but also you have to figure out a way to help them grow in their faith. And I remembered this story that my mother-in-law had told me about Brett and his sisters, Tammy and Jenny, how they really wanted a pony, and Brenda just, "Well, you better pray for that." And they ended up getting a pony. But that went into my mind, and I thought, I think this is a moment where I'm just going to actually have to not challenge the Lord, but ask the Lord to come into this and actually help Brooke have an encounter about this. Like she needs to actually engage in prayer. And it was not very long afterwards. She started praying. We started praying. Like I was like this, "Sure, bring 10 more home." Right. You know, because they loved Vanuatu. But okay, Brookie, let's have faith in God. He can bring them home. And she prayed, "Oh dear Jesus, please bring Amy home. Please bring the Slaughters home." And I'll tell you, it was not weeks later that the Slaughters were coming back and they were moving not to Southern Oregon, but to Newburgh, which was 20 minutes away for us, 15 minutes away for us. So our family was then spoiled, and that's where I'm going to pass
like
over
ours.
To Marna, because we have got so many stories. I just want you to be able to experience a little bit of the Marna angelic glow.
Debbie so sweet.
She is like an angel. She is. She plays a mean game of is it double saw that we can play? And old people now, but we've been playing these games since we were younger.
Yes.
What's the one called Strange?
Nerds. Oh, Strange.
Nerds and Strange. Do you guys play card games? Does anyone here? You play games? Yeah. Yeah. So she's a gamer. She is. She's a gamer, but she's quiet. She's like, you would not think, but she has that. She's got it. She's got it. But that segues to having babies, because we should probably get, we're going to use our phones to go with our notes, because we have notes together. But for this group, which we're focusing on when you have not had a child yet, or if you're pregnant, or if you have a young one, and you're just in that age group. So I have the advantage of watching Marna transition from a job where she was promoted. She was getting promoted. Obviously, she's so sweet and so kind, and they knew that they had talent. So I was watching her have success in that. And meanwhile, the things that I was aspiring to, I was like, I could see my own limitations, right? So Marna and I were so different, and I was like, how is she so naturally, you know, like this? I'm so naturally not like this. How is she so? I want to be like Marna. So I watched her be able to lay down that job, happily have her children, and Joel was her first one. So I got to see her really very intentionally parenting for 2.5 years.
2.5 years before Amy came.
And then Amy Grace came, who was, like I said, Brookie's BFF. So I got to see two babies that Marna was raising, and she was serious about it. So now I want to pass off.
Aren't you so
and
sweet?
Let you share, because it's just, it's so encouraging.
Oh, that is so sweet. So Debbie thought we should start with the pregnancy years. and for, again, for those of you who are not there yet, or maybe you are just there, or you're still in the middle of having kids, you don't know how many you're going to have.
Also, can you guys hear us well? Okay, good.
Okay. So, of course, even before we got married, we would talk about name. We were just so excited that about getting married and someday starting a family, which I think many couples are. But we would go through names and talk, and our names were, I would come up with names, and Tab would come up with all the names that they would get called. So it was Vito. So our first one was actually 2 days old before he had his name. So he was Baby Boy Slaughter. But we knew, we would talk about the importance of discipline, and we both came from such good homes with such good parents, and saw just what a difference it makes when you're taught to respect and you're taught to honor. And we wanted so much to have that for our kids, but we knew that it needed to be intentional. So when the news came, and he came home from work, and I shared with him, guess what, it's happening. We're gonna have a baby. We were so excited. But even, okay, I'll probably start crying because it's just such special memories. Yeah. But even that very first evening, we were so excited talking about it and just thinking all those things. But that very first evening, he said, okay, we have to pray because we already love this baby. But we have to pray that the Lord helps us to take the care to be disciplining parents, because we don't want, and especially at that time, we grew up, our childhood was in the 70s, and there was so much cultural noise about not spanking, and it's not maybe unlike today, and not disciplining, and just kids running amok, and kids basically being allowed to be brats and then having all kinds of problems, and we just didn't want that for our children. So he said, we need to pray that the Lord will help us to discipline, and we need to be intentional about it. And throughout my pregnancy, we would pray about that. And I'm just so thankful. You know, even as a child, one of the verses that the Lord would use in my life so often was Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. And then that, along with Proverbs 3:5-6, which we could probably all quote, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And that, that especially, the lean not on your own understanding, because as we get underway as parents, fathers have a way of relating to their children, and they love them wholeheartedly. Mothers have a way of relating to their children, and we love them wholeheartedly. But sometimes that doesn't always sync up. Sometimes, there has to be communication and prayer, and as husband and wife, just coming together and thinking about those things. But that's where I'm so thankful. Lean not on your own understanding, my own instincts, maybe my own inclinations. Maybe those aren't the things that I need to be doing. We have the word to guide us, and I am so very thankful because in Matthew 7, Jesus said, do what I command you, and you will build your house upon the rock. You know, he builds our house for us upon the rock when we follow his commands. And thankfully, his word is just full of all of the wisdom that we need. I'm so, so very thankful for that.
So when Lorna was having her time of pregnancy, and we would, obviously she was glowing, and it was an exciting time. But I share this on the podcast. Can you share with everyone the hospital story?
Oh, yes.
I love that story so much because it speaks to the intentionality of you guys in what you just shared. But before you share that story, can you guys just see why it would be amazing to I could talk to Marna or be on the phone with Marna, which also Marna was the one who said, so Debbie, I'm so glad to talk with you. But just so you know, if I instantly hang up the phone, it's because I have something to attend to with my kids. So she knew how to make boundaries with our friendship. And I just want to encourage you guys to make boundaries with your friendships like that, because first of all, you and yourself, you're walking with Jesus, right? Your friend is not walking with Jesus. Your husband is not the one that you are walking with Jesus with. Your husband hopefully is walking with the Lord. Your friend is hopefully walking with the Lord. But you have a relationship with Jesus that you need to protect. And for Marna, she realized in order for Marna to be doing good with Jesus, Marna needs to serve her family and her kids, numero uno. So the phone's going to drop if there's something that was necessary in the home, right?
Yes.
So we had that freedom. And what was so great is then when I onboarded my three, I say that jokingly, we all know it's labor and it is not necessarily easy. And Marna will talk about that too, because she's a hero. And I'm like, oh, I'll get the epidural. But all that to say is, because I know there's trends, but Marna's the one you want to talk to if you want to go more au naturel. I am the one you want to talk to if you go epidural. So that's it. But there's no judgment. But there's no judgment because she was so sweet. But I was blown away when I was in the hospital, went to the hospital to see her. And I thought, she had that baby and she was in labor for that long and she was pregnant for that long. And she's smiling. She actually she's excited. She's not in here crying. So I thought, all right, because keep in mind, 4 years before I got pregnant. And so I was really thinking this through. I had a nice long time to measure out how much do I want to have a baby, because I got to see Marna with, wow, she's impressive.
And here it was my dream come true. I knew since I was a little girl, I wanted to be a mom.
So sweet. But it was so really inspiring sweet. Because I came from such a different kind of background, and for the Lord to give me such a sweet friend that was just grounded and had no doubt about standing on the rock and to believe God for what he would do in the family. Not even blink about that, but just to know we are standing on the rock. That when you talk with Marna, you are also, well, I'll stand on the rock too. Yep, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to stand on that rock. Because she's that in love with Jesus, and it comes out of all of her life. And that's the thing is, that's what we all want, right? We all strive to be like that, and it's just Marna glows a little bit more than most people do. But so go ahead. So tell the hospital story.
You can just see how in those years, Debbie just filled me up with encouragement, and it was really wonderful. It was really, okay, so the hospital. Oh, yes. So in the hospital, okay, so, you know, you do the whole thing. Okay, so yeah, on the thing of natural birth, epidurals, it really is like seriously no judgment. My doctor came in and said, oh, too late. So you go through, and that happened with my second one too. And then my third one was a C-section, so I got a spinal. But it works. But there are some gals that like the epidural actually helps you relax and have the baby. So it's like can be a good thing, I think. Yeah. So, but oops, I lost my notes.
Oh, okay. In
the podcast, there's a story that I referred to when Joel started crying.
Yes, we're in the hospital. Uh-huh. And this is, so we're in the hospital, and this is, of course, after he's born. So it was the next day. And he's in his little cart thing. And he started crying, and I began to reach over to get him because when babies cry, mothers want to pick them up. And Dad put his hand on me and just very kindly but said, "No, we need to wait. We need to train ourselves not to respond immediately and promptly to cries." This has nothing to do with disciplining a baby, because obviously you're not going to be disciplining a newborn, but he said we need to be thinking about how we need to be able to say no to our children and not be responding to every cry all the time, because they do learn to then cry and cry a lot and cry really loud. So, and there is a difference, obviously, for anyone who's a mom. There's a difference between crying and crying because they're in pain or crying because they're seriously hungry or something's wrong. But you know the difference. Like when they cry, you hear that difference. So you don't have to worry about that. But it was just so, like, it was one of those bracing moments that it was like, yeah, that's right. We need to. I need to.
It helped redirect your mind.
Yeah, it helped.
In terms of our natural instinct might be one thing, but that's not necessarily the right thing. And it's neat. Again, that was modeled. Tad and Marna modeled a lot of that. I definitely did not have that in my home growing up. I did not have a framework of looking to your husband in the way of godly leadership. There was no leadership in my we were starting it, okay? We were ground up. So I had to talk about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I mean, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. I couldn't understand what I didn't know I didn't understand. Does that even make sense? I mean, I didn't know the void that was there. It just was a hole, you know, it just was a hole. So that's why for me, and I think one of the reasons why I wanted to have Marna up with me tonight is because we have trudged through a lot of life together, but coming from completely different backgrounds, oddly enough, both of our dads actually ended up having dementia and Alzheimer's at the very end. So like we had similarities in our aging parent situation. Our moms are actually friends, which is funny. They ended up living in the same place for a little while in Newburgh at a retirement place.
And
who would have thought?
So fun.
It was cute. I mean, it was just one of those things where, wow, the Lord's just blessed so much. But going back to the, and I say that because I want you guys to know that there's an end goal that you're looking for, and that is to walk with the Lord throughout your life and to stay in your marriage and to fight hard for your marriage at all costs. I mean, mm-hmm. to the death you fight for your marriage. And I mean it, like if you have to die, not kill yourself, but like if it's gonna knock you flat, you're gonna have to go through some battles in order to keep with that man. Because you're human and he's human and we're all just big fat sinners, you know what I mean? And so for me to have a friend that I could say, oh my gosh, I am such a sinner and so's my husband and your husband and you and like we're all sinners. And to have that kind of a friend, I mean, you guys, that's what you need in your life is friends that can tell you the truth and can say, yes, sometimes leaning not on your own understanding does in fact mean that you are not actually going to understand it. You actually are going to have to walk by faith and you're not going to understand it. And all of that is a rewiring that can happen in our mind at a time right now before you've had kids or if your baby is little and you're establishing those new patterns, what Marna has talked about of Tad saying, wait, we need to make sure that we're responding correctly because the Lord's leading us and not because we're just pulling our hair out. Because you know what's going to happen? You'll be bald. You will pull your hair out. You don't have enough hair for the amount of times you're going to pull your hair out because you're going in your own strength, you know. And so went for me, coming from zero model in the home, because my dad left when I was young. You guys, most of you know that. And if you don't, there's different, you know, things we can send you with links and stuff for you to hear my story. But it's just something that you have to trust God. If your husband has a direction in your home and not that you're, again, I'm coming from a place of working through codependency issues and like different things that are like my identity and getting so wrapped up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, let's look at the biblical model of I'm walking with Jesus. My husband is walking with Jesus. We come together, we make a decision. If we don't exactly agree, I'm gonna trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. And in all my ways, including family, including how I reach out to my kids, how I literally step by step, if I hold this baby, if I don't have that in check and my husband and I are not in alignment, then we gotta have a little talk and work out how we're gonna get in alignment. And so that's what Marna is talking about. Like she, for those two to be really tight as a couple, that was how they needed to proceed. Does that make sense? Because that's something, and that is something that I think the Titus 2 women can help you easily work through. That's not necessarily a counseling thing. That's just an encouragement thing. Just go with what the Lord shows in his word. And then just be really patient and pray and keep doing it and keep doing it. And we'll go back to our notes and go to the next section, because now you got to get to Amy Grace.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so now, so Joel, because the other age group is, that's in a couple weeks. We're going to address the next, because Joel's a whole nother story. And my kids are, all of our kids are a whole nother story. But that's in a couple weeks. That's down the road. If we can get Marna back for that, then that's a whole nother story. But I'm telling you, I'm shocked she's here. Because I've wanted her to speak, and it's here that she's here. I'm thankful. So we'll take what we got. But okay, so I just know you have a lot to spread out, and we all need it. So okay, so what are the things that the Lord showed you in that first year with Joel and
in the first
and a husband gone all the time?
Yes, yeah, because we had him. It was July 2nd, and then we left the hospital July 4th, and that was his name, birthday. And at some point in there, you guys came to visit, because Tad and Brett were leaving the next day after we got home to be go to camp for a week. And they were, Brett and Debbie were just so sweet and just saying, Dad, you can't leave. You've got to stay home. But, you know, we were like, well, thankfully we have had these days. And, you know, back when our parents were having children, like the dads kind of came and saw the baby and went back to work. So we're thinking we already had it really good. And my mom, thankfully, she had come up from Southern California. She was going to be with us with me for that week. Well, then my brother's wife had a baby 3 days after I had my first baby, and they were in Eastern Oregon. So actually she popped off to go there, but it all worked out. However, here's, I would say, in that first initial newborn time, it's so sweet. You learn such an appreciation for your mothers. And Tad and I both are very rich in who our mothers are. I start crying again because you just appreciate it so much. But I remember that first night home from the hospital, and Joel cried, and you get up and nurse, and then he was not a fussy baby, thankfully. He was such a good baby, but that first night he was crying quite a lot. And I was just going to stay up, and my mom came out and she said, honey, you just go to sleep. I'll stay up with the baby. I said, oh, but mom, don't you need to sleep? She said, no. And it was the sweetest thing. It's just imprinted in my mind. She took him and she held him. And it's like he just fell into her, and she just started rocking him. And it was like, it's going to be okay. She knows. In other words, her confidence. She'd had four kids, but there was something about her confidence and just her, just her love that wrapped him up, that just helped me completely relax and go to bed. Not that I ever had any question. I knew I could leave him with her, but that really spoke to me about, wow, how important it is to allow our moms to help us and to influence us. And then, of course, then eventually she was back to Southern California, and thankfully Judy was so available to me. I could call her with questions, and she thankfully loved to talk to me and answer my questions, because all things baby, Judy had it. And she helped me just so much. And I would say one of the things that, again, was really helpful, we took Joel to church for the first time when he was 11 days old. And then our plan was to just spend the rest of the day at Judy's house with the family. And because it is just so much fun to have the first grandbaby, I will say, because, everybody, but of course I would say every one of the kids has just been so celebrated and loved. But it was just fun to have Joel. But it was time for him to go down for a nap, and he was just crying and fussing, and, you know, I'm a new mom, and so you pick him up, and, you know, and then she just so kindly said, "Now, I would like to talk to you about something, and you do not have to do this, but I just want to tell you something that really helped when my kids were babies." And she said, all babies, they don't have a way for stress release. So when they're fed and they're changed and they're tired and they're still fussing, sometimes just the best thing you can do is just put them in their bed and let them cry. And of course, he's 11 days old, but he was a big baby. He was a bruiser, so he was a little tiny thing. But she said, because any baby, if you just set the timer for 10 minutes, because any baby can cry for 10 minutes, they're going to be okay, and it has nothing to do with you. We can feel like we're not loving our babies or not tending to their needs. And she said that has nothing to do with it. They actually need that good exchange of air in their lungs. It's good for them. Their muscles work, and they're releasing stress. And she said, just watch, because you set that timer for 10 minutes, and there's going to be a certain number of minutes when they're going, and they will just stop and be sound asleep. And it was really cool. So we set the timer, and we did it 8 minutes. It was like exactly how she said. And so for the next few weeks, that, of course, you know, that changes when they get more stamina. But for the next few weeks, we would do that when he was in that zone of being fussy and being all well cared for, but just fussy and needing to go to sleep. And we did that. And then it was so then we did that with Amy, and she was like 4 minutes. And then John just didn't cry very much. he was really little to start with, so he hardly had to do that. But all that to say, that again was the thinking behind it was so helpful to me, because it helped me to be confident about mothering my kids and confident about this thing that feels so counterintuitive is actually good for them. And it kind of put us on the path of sleep training and my kids actually learning to sleep well, and the home was so much more peaceful, mm-hmm. You know. So that was just something I really appreciated.
That's so great. Well, Judy gave me the same conversation. So she was the original Titus II, okay? So
yes.
She literally is the original Titus II in my life and Marna's life. So I had Brooke. So keep in mind, so now Marna has two kids, and I have Brooke. And Brooke's July 5th. So I think exactly 4 years and the 3 days difference,
yes,
for Joel,
for
right?
Joel, yeah.
So it's summertime, and, you know, that's a great time to be having a baby in the summer, because you can open up the windows and have some fresh air and all of the things. So Judy so nicely, so gently with her voice, which if you ever, even if you don't have like a personal issue or a problem, you really should call the office just so you can hear Judy's voice on the phone, because that alone will calm you down. Seriously, I'm not kidding. So it's just, you should just even, I'm not going to say make up a problem, but just figure something out so that you can talk to Judy a little bit, right? So I was having a hard time, because I heard Marna, I understood the structure. Technically, I understood that it was okay for a baby to cry, but when you actually have your own baby that is your own actual baby, and some of you who maybe have heard about the Choose Life study, in there I tell the story about how I really thought that Brooke was perfect, you know? And I break that down in that study, why she's not perfect, but I just really thought she was perfect. So how could I let this perfect child cry? That's being mean to this child. But Judy was able to have that same conversation with me. And I thought, good for the child. Well, okay, then that's all right. If it's good for the child, that's all right. I mean, there's so many things that you have to flip in your mind, because you certainly cannot be listening to Parent Magazine anymore.
No.
If any of you have that, throw it in the trash can. Goodbye. You're not going to do that anymore. I would not trust Nickelodeon with my children's lives at all. So you're probably going to have to get rid of your TVs, at least minimally, censor your YouTube, whatever, YouTube Kids. Just because it says YouTube Kids doesn't mean it's actually good for kids. So you're going to have to go through this biblical screening of everything that you do. So that's why it's really important, I think essential, that you create these relationships with the Titus II women so that you can run these things by them and say, am I thinking about this like squarely? Is this too radical, or is this a healthy thing? Am I being too dependent on my husband? Am I not letting go of him enough? Like, that was one thing that I had to really learn before I go to Brett. I needed to go to Jesus. So, because it would be very easy, Brett's a strong leader, it'd be very easy to be so reliant on Brett that then my own relationship with Jesus could just starve. And so you don't want to do that. It's not healthy for Brett. It's not healthy for me. It certainly is not anything that I want to teach my kids, right? And so you don't want to do that either. So we all have to be in that place where if you have the biblical model of your talking to the women who are more mature, older. I mean, Marna is not that much older than me. She's just a couple years older than me, but miles ahead, especially in that time period, as far as anything that I knew that was familiar. So find someone who is just a little bit ahead of you, who can actually help you model what it is you need to do. And then find someone who has really lived a little while and ask them, can you, you know, mentor me or help me through this? Because like we shared, like Paula shared, these ladies are literally, Judy is discipling them how to be leaders for you. And so to give you that, it's such a gift. It's such a huge, huge gift. And I just want to take a second, because when we do break up into Titus II groups, I want, if the Titus II ladies right now, if you could raise your hand, and I'm sorry for those of you at home who can't really see this, but could you raise your hand just to let us know that you guys, so look around and see these ladies. So one of these ladies will be at a circle tonight, okay? So then you're gonna gather around those women, and then you'll have a prayer person that'll facilitate tonight. So just so you know. But that might be the beginning of a really sweet friendship that you have, that you'll be able to just run questions, you know, by the person. So okay, our early years of being pregnant. Yes. So I was pregnant at different times. So Casey was born in February. Joey was born in November. February was probably my favorite because you're not so swollen from the summer. Yes. November is a little, it's fine. It's good. But you're right at Thanksgiving. So there's really not, you've got Thanksgiving and Christmas just right there. Plus we had surgeries in there. So for me, and that's probably where I want to transition as far as the infancy things that can happen that are like not in your plan. That sometimes that happens. And for me, I just, if you have your Bibles and you want to just flip to or mark it in your journal tonight, John 1:1. And that's, it's just something that I think the Lord would have you guys lean on is that, and really in the postcards that we made for you, a lot of the themes are reminders of God's sovereignty. But John 1:1 is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it just is such a good reminder for us to understand that Jesus, He is God. And Jesus wants a relationship with you. And He wants to live with you for all eternity. And so that takes a lot of pressure off of you that you have to figure out everything today. Because as far as you and Jesus, you have all of eternity to figure it out. Right? The urgency that we might feel when you're pregnant or when your baby's just 1 year old, I would just ask, oh my goodness, if you could just pray that the Lord would help you work on calming your mind, calming your thoughts, journal out scripture. Maybe there's scripture that you see on these cards. I know that through the years when Judy, prior to these years, did retreats, sometimes she would have quiet retreats, or sometimes she would just have retreats where there was a lot of scripture. And that's really where I learned that for me, writing out the Word of God is one of the most therapeutic things I could ever imagine. So if you haven't had a baby yet, or if you're about ready to have a baby, and there's gonna be maybe some hours because there's a lot of sleeping, and the baby might be a good sleeper. Brooke was an amazing sleeper. I think she slept 18 hours a day. I was like, hallelujah, this is amazing. I can clean my house, I can cook, I can go pull weeds, I can do whatever. But it's also a really good time to remember to be in the Word and to journal out scripture and calm yourself down, because your hormones are gonna be all over the place. You literally are a machine. Like, you're a machine. Your brain is figuring out how to make milk. Are you kidding me? You are Dairy Queen, like, for a while, okay? And if you're gonna have repetitive kids, you are Dairy Queen. So Milk makes milk, so eat well, rest well, all of that. Follow the guidelines as far as, you know, the diet, the good diet and structurally. But spiritually, just don't forget that that's your time to grow deep. That I am the vine and you are the branches. That's what Jesus said in John 15. And that is a time for you to plunge deep. When in the quiet hours, in the late, late nights, when you're waking up and you're feeding the baby. If you aren't a fan of hymns, I recommend get to become a fan of hymns. Because as you sing those hymns to your baby, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I mean, day one, you can be teaching your child theology. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. Teach that to your baby. Sing those songs to your baby. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the only way to go. It's the only way to go. Because otherwise, you look at a very fractured life. And you see a template that's based on works, that's based on legalism, that's based on not getting it right, that's based on not doing enough. And that's just a lie. And that's another thing that the Titus 2 ladies can really help you to remember, that there's lies from the enemy, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is the time when you should be feeling the sweetness of God. He's blessing you with a life. He's made your body healthy enough to produce another human. And then he's sustaining you well enough to make it so that you can actually continue to make milk to feed another human. It's just amazing. And he's providing for you in whether it's the body of Christ or however it is that, you know, a job for your husband, a job for you, whatever it is, but God's providing for you. And so in this time, Psalm 23, right? He leads us into these still waters and it's going to feel still. 2 a.m. is pretty still. That's pretty still when you gotta be feeding your baby. But that's the time when you can actually remind yourself, he's my good shepherd. And he's caused this baby to wake up at this time. And I have this moment. So I can pray over my baby. I can pray for my family. I can pray for myself and ask God, how can I bring you into this? But I think song and scripture is the very number one. So are there other things during the time that you learned when you were nursing and spending time with your babes?
And I love what you said about the songs and scripture, because that even came to my mind today, that I would sing, like when our guys were gone a lot.
Yeah.
Before the kids would go to bed, we would always have, you know, their bath, and then we'd have Bible stories, and then we would just sing. I would sit in their room with them, and we would just sing, and then they'd get in their beds and... or put them in the crib, whichever one was
and
at what stage.
And it doesn't mean that you're singing well.
No. It's a joyful noise.
Marna has a beautiful voice, though. She was in choir and all that. So
it's a joyful noise unto the Lord.
But it doesn't mean you have to sing well. Yeah. It's just teach your kids to sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You just do it.
And the thing that's so sweet is then different times when I would hear them just singing by themselves during the day, singing their songs, or we'd be on the way to church and Joel would be in the back seat going, Jesus loves me, in his little way. It was just so sweet. And now, full circle, the sweetest thing, when I go to their house, before they put their kids to bed, they do the same thing, Bible story, and they sing. And they ask the girls, what do you want to sing? Always, Jesus loves me. It's so sweet to hear him and Lindsay singing those same kinds of songs with their kids, which I know many people do. But the same thing, even growing up, like, you know, if I was doing housework or dishes, you know how sometimes you just, you know, will sing that, encouraging yourself in the Lord, and I would be singing a hymn. And then I would love it, because a couple of hours later, Amy would be doing whatever she was doing, and I hear her singing the same song. But it's like,
so sweet.
You know, I love how it catches, and it goes. And even now, like when we got to spend time with her this last November and December, she came up, she was really sweet, and she helped me get our house clean in Vanuatu. So I'd work in one room. She was in another room.
Okay, context, though. Amy is her second child, yes. Living in Vanuatu.
Yes.
Married to is essentially Mr. Darcy.
Yes, he's so wonderful.
He basically is Mr. Darcy. He basically is. And I'm not even kidding. No. He even has an accent.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
He's so fun. And he thinks she's wonderful. So
yeah, it's the sweetest story.
Like so sweet.
It's the sweetest story.
And he
is truly
wonderful.
I think we have Amy's talk when we had her shower here, because Amy got engaged in minutes, right? Basically.
Yes.
Met the man, Cotton Cage.
Met him, and she came back here. She taught for a year. He flies planes there. And then, so in the summertime, she would come and be with us, came back, and we happened to meet his mom on the plane from Fiji to Port Vila, ended up getting to know her family, and the way, and then it was just one of those things, the Lord led, the Lord spoke, both parents were hearing the same thing, they were hearing the same thing, and it was like, got engaged, got married 3 weeks later.
It was really sweet.
But
it was really sweet.
An incredibly sweet and a healing story for both of them. It was very healing.
And I think we have that healing. Recorded somewhere. Yes. I think we recorded Amy talking the night of her shower. If you're interested in a story that will inspire you, that is a story of God's healing, her sweet Amy Grace shared that the night of her shower that we had for her, and we can find that for you. But
that would
so
be
sweet.
Wonderful.
And it was so sweet too, because somehow the phone worked and we were able to even get Marna
sweet?
And Tad to FaceTime during the shower.
Yes.
So it was so sweet because they were in Vanuatu waiting for their baby. So anyway, all that to say
sweet.
Though, Amy,
oh, yes.
Just now you were going to say, and I interrupted,
oh, yes.
But I wanted
oh, no,
everyone to
okay.
know about Amy. Like, Amy. This is a substantial person.
Yes.
Amy Grace. Okay.
Someone that we love. No, so, but it was the sweetest thing because I'd be working, and our house is like, there's no glass windows. It's all screen. Like, you can hear everything in the whole house. So I would be in our room. She'd be in the kitchen. We'd both be doing our scrubbing. And I would just hear her singing away. And it just blesses my heart. It just blesses me deep down in my soul to hear her that's just what she does. You know, I love that she has that relationship with the Lord. But I remember, too, Judy teaching in those young years when she had the home builder's workshop. You know, it's not what's, as much as what's taught is what's caught. It's what you do, your kids will do. That's what plants roots. And, of course, teaching definitely, of course, obviously does matter. But that was sweet. But anyway, I took it a different direction. Sorry,
no,
what
good.
Were you asking?
It's good. Okay, so I want to take the temperature. So where are you guys at? How many people here have never had a baby before? Could you raise your hand? And I'm sorry I can't see you at home. So, okay, that's good to know. Never had a baby. Okay, good. Okay, how many are due this month? How many are 8 months along? 7 months. Go backwards, Debbie. 6 months. Okay, 5. Okay, 4, 3, 2. All right, 3's the winner. Okay, did you say 2? Oh, hi. Okay, good.
Aww.
That's sweet. So 2. Oh, 1? Just found out? Just found out. No way.
Yay.
Oh, that's so sweet.
How exciting.
So for those of you who have never had any kids before, and I'll repeat it so that our online people can know. So is this feeling foggy to you, or is it helping make sense of what is potentially happening? Does anyone want to volunteer? Foggy? Raise your hand. Making sense, raise your hand. Okay, at least good. We got about 50%. All right. So for those of you who have kids, how many of you, this is your first child, and you have had that child in a year or younger? Raise your hand. Okay. And then how many are here who have multiple kids, and you're just here because it's fun? Oh, yay. Okay, good. Okay, keep your hands up. You guys keep your hands up. Okay, the other people who had your hands up just before, okay, you need to... Is it clock? Is that the word you say now? You need to clock these hands because these might be your Marnas. I'm not kidding. These might be your Marnas. So yeah, so that you just got to get to know your group, right? Because these two in the front, yes, talk to them because they're going to help. I already know this. You're like the Marnas. You would be my Marna because these two gals will help let you understand how to integrate God's word into your daily life and help you understand that it's okay if things don't look always okay, and help you understand that the Lord loves you no matter what is happening, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. God doesn't change. And his love for us is forever and ever and ever and ever. And that makes you feel secure. And then you can start filtering through decisions of how you're going to actually go about being a mommy, you know. So for those of you who have not had a baby yet, the transition that you're going to make, I'm just going to tell you, is a big one. It's the biggest transition you're going to make in your whole life. But it's also the biggest reward that you're ever going to know. For me, I wow, I was blown away when I had my daughter, Brooke. I really didn't know. I had a lot of different things going on before I was pregnant. I married Brett. I was so thrilled that I married a godly man. All I knew what I wanted was the opposite of how I was raised. And I say that, like, I know the Lord, my dad had there was a work that happened in my dad over time, but the fracture that had taken place, it was so severe, and just the things that had caused, I wanted the opposite of that. And so when I met Brett, I was so thankful that I found someone who actually really was serious about Jesus, that was like, this is what I'm doing with my life. And I didn't want anything less than that, because I knew that anything less than that could result in a man making decisions on his own strength. And I knew already where that would go, because I had seen it in my own family. And it was a sad, destructive thing. And I don't want to say it wasn't my dad's fault, because everyone's accountable to their own behavior. But man, we're such victims of society all the time. You know, if we don't stop for a second and say, how can I put Jesus first? We're going to get in that cycle of what the world's telling us to do. And that's just going to chew you up and spit you out, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I found myself really fortunate enough to be able to marry Brett, then I knew as a mom, a future mom, like some of you tonight, I was like, wow, this is going to really look different, because my parents were raised in the education system to be teachers in the era that is, they were just really switching from man is basically born a sinner. That would be the biblical worldview, right? That we're born into sin, that we have a sin nature. In the 50s, if you were going to school, that was the start of the huge shift at the collegiate level, really teaching people that was not true, that man is basically good. And I know we can go back to Charles Darwin, and we can go back to the origin of man and all of those things, and just the structure of evolution and how buying into that as a culture is really what is at the base of all of it. Mm-hmm. But my parents, they didn't know any better. They wanted to be teachers and just have fun teaching and, you know, just be good and follow the rules and that kind of stuff. So, but structurally in the 60s, then it all really broke down, right? That if you guys look back in your history books, because I know, you're young, I'm old, but if you look at the 60s, acid was happening, trips were happening, LSD was happening, heroin, people running around naked in the streets, all that stuff. And it was considered abnormal. Like, we would still consider it abnormal. We're not comfortable with the homeless thing, right? But in the 60s, it was countercultural. Now it's a part of it. It's considered a rite of passage to embrace so many of these heavy things. So it's almost more clear for you. It's very black and white. Wow, you're either taking a stand, which I would say Brett was in the category of the person saying, there's no way. I'm a man who's gonna walk with God. And that was who I wanted in my life, because I saw what the 60s did when you're presented with choices and, hey, maybe commitment is, you know, negotiable. That's how it was in my family. And I thought, wow, I don't want my kids to inherit that kind of pain, because it was not right. I knew in my core, I didn't know all the reasons why things happened the way they did in my life, but I knew that whatever answers they were getting, my parents, God bless them, but it wasn't the right answer. Jesus was the only answer. Mm-hmm. And I think when you bring that, so no matter where you're at, whether you have a background like Marna's of Christian parents and a richness and a history there that's tangible and you can see it and it gives you solidity in your walk, or you come from my thing, which was a little cray and there's like stuff that's going on that I'll probably process until I'm free and I'm in heaven, right? But we're all a work in process. And I think the bottom line is, as moms right now, with that baby that's growing inside you, like, the Lord has blessed you with that. And so for you to put away all of the things that have happened on the side of you, the past, whatever it is, to know that it's you walking with Jesus and he's blessing you with this baby, that it's your chance for a whole new beginning with the way that you start your life. And that was going back to Brett. I mean, he was able to really talk me through the trust in the Lord with all your heart part, mm-hmm. and to lean not on your own understanding. I really could not see how it was going to turn out. He could see how it could turn out. Mm-hmm. Marna could see how it could turn out. Tad had to trust the Lord too in seeing how it would turn. Like, there's some of us come from different backgrounds and you do not know how it's going to turn out, but trusting in the Lord That's the key. And then have him write your story and be okay with how it is. And just, and be okay with how it is. Because he will keep you strong. He will. He'll keep you really strong. And there might be times when you're going to falter and you will be weak. But the Lord's given us the body of Christ. And that's why I'm so thankful that sweet Marna could be here tonight and just share her heart and share some of her experiences too, because sometimes you need another friend. Sometimes you need someone to pray with. And sometimes you need an older sister like a Titus too. And so the very start of this series of Mom Time, I thought it would just be so important to really model and show you, well, this is what it looks like. And thank God, this is what it looks like 40 years later, you know? I mean, we're that fortunate. We're just that fortunate.
The Lord is so good. I love what you said there. It's funny because just in this last week in my reading, I was having these verses, but it keeps coming up. And so I thought I'd mark it for tonight. But it's just okay. What you're saying about the Lord's strength, about 2 Corinthians 12:8, where Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Now, I guess I don't always delight in insults and hardships. but when you're in them, because the Lord lets them come into our lives, because that is where his grace is strong. It shows our weaknesses, and we need his grace. We need it so much. And if some of us have grown up and we have thorns that are in our past that have been really hard, it's like, that's okay. Not to say that's good. The Lord, you know, there's healing and all of that the Lord has for you. But it's so good to remember that in those weak spots is where his grace strengthens us and his grace gets us through. We are not sufficient of ourselves. His grace is sufficient for us. I'm so thankful that we go to a church and have a pastor who speaks so much on God's grace and how good he is. And I think that was also one of the things, did you have something you want to say, or can I move forward?
No,
or?
I'm going to add to what you're saying, but,
oh,
later,
yes, yes,
but
yes.
You go first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Really
that is one of the things that I love. And I know, again, that the Lord brought home when my kids were little, because you can be raised with a good Christian background, and we raise our children hoping they'll be Christians, but every person has to encounter God for themselves. Every person has to take our own heart and give it to the Lord and surrender our lives to him. And it's just such a neat thing when that does actually happen with our kids, that I know there were the things I wanted for my marriage and my family, but wanting it, I don't have the power to make it happen. We need the Lord to make those things happen. It is absolutely up to him. And I think, you know, we all just have our ways of thinking that the Lord helps us to shed. It's like the renewing of the attitude of our mind. But I would hear things, and it would become a standard, and that I would constantly not be living up to, which kept me in a place of being truly discouraged. And the Lord I love this verse, Isaiah 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And that, it just meant so much to me. There was a time when the Lord really spoke this verse to me, that I wasn't failing. I was learning, and he's my gentle shepherd, and he was teaching me. And he was going to continue to teach me and continue to help me. And that when I would read the word, it's not a standard to beat myself up with. It's encouragement from him. You know, as I know so often we hear, it's his love letter to us. It's not his, and not that there isn't correction, because there is correction. We all need correction. But he does not correct us through condemnation. He corrects us through conviction, and we want to change. We want to be pleasing to him, and of course, it's just because he's wanting to bless our lives as well. But I love that. So I just love that. He tends his flock like a shepherd.
Yeah, that's really good. I think if you guys didn't write that down in your journal, you should do that. So it was Isaiah 40:11.
Isaiah 40:11.
Yeah, 40 yes. verse 11. Make sure and write that one down and chew on that one a lot, because that's such a sweet thing when you're holding your brand new baby and to think, wow, I'm actually, I have young right now. I have young, you know, like in the scriptures, you literally can fit that. And it's so sweet when the Lord blesses you with that, to understand that his heart for us is very tender, much more tender than we are to ourselves. You know, we can come at ourselves very, very harshly. So one more thing before we wrap it up for the night, I wanted to encourage you with John chapter 6, just as a way for you to bring in the reality of Jesus as God, but also as everything that you need, and him understanding where you're at entirely in your humanity. And we don't have to go through the whole thing, but in John chapter 6, it basically starts out where they're on the Sea of Galilee, which is, it's pretty much a big lake, if you can say it like that. It sounds like it's massive. There's some seas that you can't really see across to the end, but the Sea of Galilee is not like that. It's actually, you can see a lot. So it's a lake. We would call it a lake. But they're at the sea. But what's shocking about the sea is that it can get very, very turbulent. And pretty crazy waves, and you know, that's how boats topple and people can go down. So this is an area where we've been when we've gone on the Israel trip, but it's sweet to read because I've been there. But I want to say lake to you to make it be feeling familiar, because literally if you went to a lake here, you would go, oh, okay, I get it. That's like the Sea of Galilee. But basically it's a massive issue where there's a storm, and then the timing of it too, there's the Passover, and then there's a few things going on. Jesus is ministering, if you take contextually with what the word says. He's ministering, healing in chapter 5. There's all this stuff going on. And then also, if you cross-reference, you know, his cousin has gotten his head chopped off. Jesus takes the disciples and takes them away. And he says, you need to take some time and basically rest. And it's really sweet if you kind of read what is actually going on all at that same time. Like, it's intense things that are happening. You've got a family member dying, a severe death. Like, it's horrible to think that John the Baptist, that happened to him. But it's so sweet to see how Jesus tends to the disciples, and he makes sure that they're taken care of and has them come apart and rest for a little while. This is all in 6. And then also the feeding of people. Like, they're like, Lord, these people need food. And so then God provides. And then also at the end, then there's a storm, and then they walk across, and then they're very scared. And then Jesus says, it is I, be not afraid, don't be afraid. So for me, when I just, and this is just so quick, like I'm doing a terrible job of actually teaching this. I'm not teaching you the chapter. This is my little devotional for me. Like, if you were reading in the Bible in the morning and you got this. So this is how you could take away real fast if you have just a couple minutes. But like, Jesus understands when you're hungry. And he understands when you're sad and when you need rest and sleep. And he understands, and not only understands, but he wants to provide a way for you to get that rest that you need and for you to get the food that you need. And he also wants to help you not be afraid. And that's, I mean, I know just in my life, the Lord delivering me from fear in those moments when I know I'm free of fear, Jesus wants that for you. So maybe you're getting ready to have a baby and you literally think, no, I'm not having a baby. I'm having a diesel truck. Like, how is this actually going to be happening? Because that you can get so morphed in your mind and catastrophize things so much. Like, what God is getting ready to do for you is a natural part of the human process. And it's beautiful. And he would say to you, it is I, be not afraid. He promises to be with you every step of the way. So whether you wind up having a natural childbirth or whatever, wherever you're at, it's okay, because be not afraid, it is I. Jesus will be with you. He knows what you need, how much you need. He knows the rest that you're gonna need. So just say yes to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Say yes to the rest, say yes. If there's sorrow, mm-hmm. say yes to the sorrow, and then yes to the comfort that he'll give you from that. Mm-hmm. If you're hungry, say yes to that hunger and let him satisfy you. And if it's real food that you need, then figure out how to get real food. You know, like, maybe God's going to lead you to not go to fast food so much. Maybe literally God is working in you a whole new work to help you think more clearly. Maybe you just need to drink more water. Maybe you just need to drink more water. That's a good Titus 2 question, you know? Ask for help. Don't be afraid. Jesus says, it is I. Be not afraid, it is I. So with that, we're going to break and pray real quick. When we're done praying, then we're going to go into our circles, and we'll have about 20 minutes. With those circles, 20 or 25 minutes. Really, we're going to keep these fences. What is that? A barn door. The barn door. It's getting late. I need more sugar. The barn doors are going to remain shut so that if you want a fellowship, you can go out into the foyer. But we'll take about 20, 25 minutes in our prayer groups so that you can bring these things to the Lord if there's something that has kind of just nudged in your heart tonight. And if you're not comfortable praying, that's fine too. But just go into the circle so you can meet a Titus 2 gal. Okay? So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for your word, for the comfort that you give us by your Holy Spirit, by the presence of you being in our life, Lord, being our Savior, our Shepherd, our Guide. I thank you for your tender mercy and that you do love us. You love me. You love each one of these women here, and you love Marna, and you love our kids and our husbands. And we're so thankful for your just everything you've given us. So thank you, Lord, that you walk with us in these days, that there can be joy. And I pray now as the women split up and we fellowship for the rest of the evening and pray that you would go before us. And for those at home, their time would be sweet as well, Lord, that you would meet them there. And Lord, help us to remember to be thankful and grateful in all things. And thank you for your strength that you give us every day. And we pray that you'd bless these women and bless the families represented by these women. In Jesus' name, amen.